Good morning, Faith. How's everyone doing this morning? Anyone care to admit that your mind is still back in those nice warm covers, maybe a big comforter or something this morning? Sometimes mine's like that. That's no fault of the worship team. I thought they did a great job for us in starting this morning, so we give them a hand. Awesome. Well, this morning we find ourselves in the second week of Advent and focused on the subject of love, as was mentioned. Lance covered hope last week, and he talked a little bit about hope in the context of what's going on in the world today. I'm going to do something similar. But today, as we anxiously await Christmas, right, that special time of year where we celebrate the coming and birth of our Savior Jesus, Emmanuel, God made man, and even more specifically, love incarnate. Christmas is that one season above all others where we're supposed to feel the warm feelings of the season. Hope, love, peace, joy. And we're supposed to feel that in like great measures. But do we? Do you right now, in the midst of everything we're going through? 2020 has been an extremely challenging year. And as humans, we would all be justified in feeling a bit down and depressed at this year's events. Racial, social, political, ethical issues have assaulted us on all sides. And maybe it's left you, like me, just asking, where is the love? Well, Grammy-winning artist, the Black Eyed Peas, wrote a song with that exact title. And even though it was released in 2003, I think it appropriately sums up how you might be feeling in 2020. So before we look into God's word for answers, let's listen to Where is the Love this morning together.
The things that'll bring the trauma overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate, and when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People
y'all.
Killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
Or where's the truth, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
Or where's the love, y'all?
People killing, people dying, children hurting, you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? And would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us.
The world on my shoulders. older. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinemas. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? One world, one world.
We only got
one world, one world.
That's all we got.
One world, one world.
And something's wrong with it. Yeah. Something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with the good world, world. Yeah. We only got
one world, one world.
That's all we got.
One world, one
world. Pretty good stuff, right? I was amazed when I like listened to that song and looked at the words again. It, even though it was way back in 2003, it seems to be even more poignant right now for us. So let me start this up. Make sure we're on here. Sometimes that happens. We're prepared. There we go. So in the chorus of that song, the Black Eyed Peas sang, "Father, Father, Father, help us. Send some guidance from above." And they go on and also say, "If you never know truth, then you never know love." Now, although as Christians, we generally don't make it a habit to turn contemporary entertainment artists into theologians, I think they got it right here. Right? Our world is definitely mixed up, led astray, and deceived. And what it desperately needs is a healthy dose of truth. Rock solid, totally dependable, infallible truth. We as Christians have that in God's Word. And so today, let's discover the answer to that song together. Open up your Bibles with me to 1 John Chapter 4, we're going to do verses 7 to 11. If you didn't bring one or you don't have one on your phone or device, there are Bibles in the seat in front of you. Okay. Let me read this for us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. It's titled, God is Love. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Just bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, your word tells us that this world is desperately evil. It's ruled by the prince of the power of the air, wicked and dark, and that it will certainly get more and more depraved as we get closer and closer to the end times. Although you tell us not to be friends with the world, Jesus told us he didn't pray that you would take us out of the world, but that you would protect us from the enemy. We know you have a purpose for us in the midst of all this craziness that we see going on. This morning, as we look into your word, would you send your Holy Spirit to speak directly to our hearts? Help us hear your words clearly, understand them, and know unequivocally what you would have us to do as your children and representatives and image bearers in this world. Father, send us your peace that surpasses all understanding and guide us to navigate these times in a way that brings you honor and glory and all praises. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So let's go through these verses. Just like I mentioned to you, that Black Eyed Peas song sort of spoke to me and was applicable. I think you'll find that this small subset of scripture here could not be more applicable for us today. So the first thing that I want you to see from this scripture is that love is from God and God is love. And so that first thing that we need to acknowledge is sort of like the song says, something's wrong with the world, right? That something that's wrong is the effect of sin. Sin colors and impacts everything that the world does, knows, says, believes. God created Adam and Eve to know only good. That was his purpose. His purpose that would be that his creatures, his created, would know only good. But what happened? Right? There was this knowledge, right? This tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? And so they partook of evil, and evil entered the world through that sin. It was funny when I was thinking about that, and I'm going to date myself, I was kind of taken back to earlier years. How many people here would also admit that you're either a gamer now or a gamer at some point in their life? Love to play video games, right? Well, this is how old I am. One of the greatest Christmas gifts that I got as a child was an Atari 2600. Now, most of you who are gamers today would look at that and go, oh yeah, I heard of that. I saw it in a museum somewhere. It's that old. And it was mainly blocks and pixels that were on the screen as you did. Nothing as advanced as it is today. But in those blocks and pixels, you know, we got Space Invaders, and you know, you would play that game, and we would just play it for hours and hours, my brother and I. And on that Christmas, it was just so cool to play that game. We also got a few other games from Activision and a couple of other companies out there. And some of those games were like puzzle games where you had to swing over a pit, you had to jump on the heads of alligators and other things in order to be able to get through, and you had to solve puzzles. Well, after playing it for several hours and trying to get past things, my brother found out from some of his friends at school that if you like flip the switches a certain way, you would have like God mode on it. And in God mode, you could walk right through the pit, like rising over. You could just like go right past the alligators and they wouldn't get you. And you could solve the game in like nothing flat. Right? The lure of God mode was strong. The problem, it ruined the game for us. As soon as we did that, the game held no meaning. Right? It wasn't the way it was designed to be enjoyed. Right, the same thing can be said for our life and our world today. Right, Adam and Eve's sin and the sin we continually do ruins the game for us. It's not meant to live life this way. God had something different in mind for us. Since then, and since that time, everything in the world has been tainted. Is it any wonder that the world has struggled to love each other? When truth be told, a world jaded by sin can't even define love. If you go by Hollywood, what does Hollywood tell you love is? Sex, right? That's one thing, right? It's the infatuation. It's a feeling, right? It's something when you look at something and you just gotta have that. And then it lauds the fact that you'll do anything to have that. Something's a little off, right? Something's not right. And I believe just me saying that, we can recognize that. But that first verse goes on And it really brings out a few things for us in verse 7. It says, first off, that we're not to be defining love by how the world does and its flawed methods. It says, for love is from God, and God is love. Now, when you look at that statement, God is love, I want to caution you, because there's this temptation to make that an equation, right? God equals love. I've heard a lot of people kind of teach that way, but it's very dangerous, because what happens when you do an equation, right? An equation means that both sides of that are equal to each other, and you can swap out both. So we have no problem saying God is love, but is love God through our definition and the definition of the world? No. God is so much more than just love. Love is one of the attributes of God. But people today do that, right? They can make a God of love, right? And God out of love. That's not what this verse is telling us. What it means more is that God defines the biblical version, the true version of what love is. It means that God epitomizes love. It means to know God is to know true love. I love the way R.C. Sproul said this. And it's funny because Seth teases me all the time, and rightly so. He says it wouldn't be a Bill message if it didn't have an R.C. Sproul quote in it, right? So the type of love that characterizes God is awakened in those who have been born of God. It's a supernatural gift with a supernatural origin. It is found only in the regenerate for all who exercise it, and only those who exercise it are born of God. That's a pretty powerful quote, and it's probably going to rub you a little bit the wrong way, right? Are we saying that only the regenerate can love? Yes, to this extent. Only the regenerate can love in a biblical way. Only the regenerate can love to God's standards, and not the sin-impacted part of the world. But let's go on. The second point I want you to see here is that Christ is God's love manifested. Manifested. What does that manifested mean? Well, if you look up manifest in the dictionary, you'll see there's three terms. The first term for it, or definition for it, is an adjective. It says clear or obvious to the eye or mind. Clear or obvious to the eye or mind. Manifest. So God was made manifest above us in that God sent his only Son into the world. Jesus was real. Historians like Josephus recorded his life, and the Bible records his impact. He was manifested among us. The second definition of manifest is a verb. It says to display or show a quality or feeling by one's acts or appearance. It means to demonstrate something, to manifest it. The second part of that is to be evidence of, or to prove something is to manifest it. And think about that a second. Jesus lived or manifested God's love. He lived it. He didn't do it just once and display it. He was it all the time. Right? The disciples lived with him for 3 years. Real people. They saw he didn't just talk the talk. Right? There were no skeletons in Jesus' closet. He didn't put on an image for everybody. He embodied it. He loved people to a superlative, even going to the cross to die for those. And the last definition of manifest is a noun. Webster says it's a document giving comprehensive details of a ship and its cargo and other contents, passengers and crew for the use of customs officer. So the thought period there, or the thought point there, is that if a ship pulls in to port, rather than have to go down there and go through every single thing, they can take this list, and by looking at this list, you can see everything that is in the contents of that ship. Sound appropriate again? Right? Jesus is God's documentation of his love. His life and death contained all the tangible listing and the outpouring of God's love in so many ways, and Jesus embodied all of it. He said, "When you see me, you see the Father." So you then might reasonably ask, how exactly, though, we'll take a little detour here, how exactly was Christ's love different from the world's love? Let me give you a couple of points. First, Christ's love is sacrificial. In Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8, it says, Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The reality is, as we celebrate Christmas and the coming of that baby in a manger, right, that from before the beginning of time, Christ was ordained to die. So with the celebration of that baby's birth also comes the celebration of his death as a rescuer. And it says that he emptied himself. Now, this doesn't mean he was less powerful, right? For he was fully God and fully man at the same time. But he emptied himself. He put none of his personal stuff ahead of us. He emptied it all out. Do we do that? Well, some of you are saying, oh, no, that's the same. That's not different. No, we look at that right off the bat and go, whoa. Right? Think about the time maybe here very recently, you're around Thanksgiving table with, albeit a smaller group now, right, this year. But did anything come up around that table where maybe you put your needs ahead of everybody else? No, we were all sacrificial. Right? Every one of us. No, we tended only to the needs of others. That's our sin nature. It affects us. Right? I'm not beating us up from that standpoint. I'm just saying that's the standard that God's putting out. That's the standard that he's manifesting in Christ. Christ is that much different from us. The second way God's love, or Christ's love, is different from the world's love, it's non-discriminate. Non-discriminate. Okay, so hold on here a second, Bill. What do you mean by that? Let's see if my... There we go. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever. Now, there's lots of theologians who can argue over that term whoever and exactly what this means, right? Is it solely those that he chose and knew beforehand? Is it anybody that believes? Do we have the ability to override God? I'm not going to get into all of that today. Right? That's heady stuff. I'm talking about whoever, meaning God's love is for all. There's no criteria by which God's love can't reach and doesn't reach. It means whoever means everyone. The evidence is all around us, right? God calls all manner of people to be his children. Without regard to where you were born in the world, without regard to the color of your skin, black, white, red, yellow, brown, all lives matter. Without regard to your station in life, rich, middle class, poor, slave, free, or in a part of the world where there's no such thing as money, right? Without regard to your appearance, beautiful, homely, ugly, handsome, or horrid, God loves them all. And I thank him personally that he doesn't like beauty. This also means the godly or the ungodly. Now let's pause and think about that for a second. Right? Good or bad, honest or a liar, trustworthy or deceitful, fine, upstanding citizen, or depraved, murderous criminal, God loves them and his love is for them. How different is that from us? Do we qualify things? Right? Well, you know, I love my family as long as they love me back. Right? Oh, I love this person over here as long as they don't have a different opinion than I have. Right? Then they're my enemy. We're way off in the world. We're way off from this standard. It's very different. So how is Christ's love different than the world? We said it's sacrificial, it's non-discriminate, it's unchanging and steadfast. Romans 8, 38, 39, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What more do you need? Wow. Let's look inside again, because I know none of us ever does this. But has your love ever been conditional? Right? Is there anything that could come between your love for somebody else? God's standard of love. Nothing can separate us from a love once he chooses to love you. So Christ's love is different, sacrificial, it's non-discriminate, it's unchanging and steadfast. And last, it's deeply personal. Deeply personal. Look at Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And this doesn't mean that everything is focused on us. It means that God loves us personally. He knows every hair on our head. He knit us together in the womb. He knew before he created us all of our greatness that we would achieve, all of our failures that we would do, all the times we would embarrass him as a believer. And he loves us anyway and has that relationship. The flip side of that is your relationship should be personal with God. And sometimes people come into church, right, or they're a Christian. Because why? My father was a Christian. My mother was a Christian. I grew up in a Christian family. Kind of the thing to do. But you don't know God personally. If you don't know God personally, you don't know love personally. Love what John Piper says here. He says, we weren't meant to be somebody. We were meant to be loved by somebody. That's powerful. I'm going to read that one more time. So we weren't meant to be somebody. We were meant to be loved by somebody. What a huge purpose. Does that make you feel great? Right? You were meant, you were created to be loved by God. Personally. So let's go back after our little detour and go to the third point that we can find within John's scripture in those couple of verses. And that point is that God loves first. It says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He doesn't wait for the other person to make the first move. He takes the initiative. He also doesn't wait on people cleaning themselves up. He doesn't wait for them to earn it somehow or say the right thing or just give him an opening. Right? He also doesn't ask if they want his love. He lavishes it on us. Right? He knows our need. He sees it and takes action for our greater good. Let's look at what Romans 8 says about God making the first move. Romans 8 says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." The ungodly, right? For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, be a Christian in any length of time, and you've heard this, you know this, right? That while we were still sinners, you hear this a lot. But I'm asking you today to really meditate on that. Put that in your heart, right? Keep that as a focus. You were unlovely. You were ungodly. Can we love the unlovely? Can we love the ungodly? Because we were a part of them at some point. In fact, this verse also shows us that God's love is an action. It's a verb. It's a choice he makes to do something at his own expense that maintains his perfect righteousness while imparting that perfect righteousness to us. You and I, who are profoundly sinful, profoundly imperfect, and wholly ungodly, didn't earn any of it. We're not special that he picked us, right? We basically are special because he picked us. You can't purchase this righteousness by your actions, and you couldn't buy it with all the money in the world. But God, in his infinite love and mercy, gives it freely to us as the best Christmas present anyone could ever want, right? That should make all of us extremely grateful when we think about Christmas, extremely humbled at the same time, and most of all, extremely loved. Now let's quickly review what we've learned from John 4, and at the same time, I'll ask that the worship team begin to make their way back to the stage. So, John, 1 John 4, 7 to 10. True love is from God and defined by God. We learned that in verses 7 and 8. Second, Christ is God's love manifested. He's the tangible proof. He's the full documentation of God's love. He's the action, the adjective, and the noun. And then, God loves first. Doesn't matter what the recipient does. God moves first. Now, some of you might be just a little sharper here this morning, right? And you'll say, now, wait a minute, Bill. We did 7 to 11, and now you're saying 7 to 10. What happened to verse 11? Well, verse 11, that's a little different from the rest of our verses today. Verse 11 speaks to mine and your purpose today, and specifically at Christmas. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So God's love should be overflowing in us. Overflowing, why? Just to overflow and spill over right around us? No, overflowing to be poured out into this sin-affected world. Overflowing, just like when the Black Eyed Peas sang, "What's wrong with the world?" Right? The answer is according to our passage today, and simply that what's wrong with the world is sin, and the love, where is the love? Is in Jesus, and that love is supposed to come from His children and spread to everyone else. So in essence, what I'm telling you is to be a super spreader this Christmas season. Right? Maybe not in the way we think of it right now and today, but a super spreader for Christ's love. So this Christmas season, let's share Jesus, God's incarnate love, with all we would come into contact with. Let's possess and profess His profound love for us by loving one another the way Christ loved. Sacrificially, indiscriminately, steadfastly, and personally. Amen? Amen. All right. So bow your heads with me today. I'll pray you, and then the worship team's going to come out and sing a final song. Maybe you sat here, like I mentioned, and you were born into a family of Christianity, and you want that personal. You want to know God personally. You know that you need that. Maybe your resolve today is that you want to get that right. Well, the Bible tells us in Revelation, He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever opens up the door, right, I will come in and dine with him." So if your prayer today is that you want to know Jesus more, you have to welcome Him in. You have to turn your life over to Him. You have to say, "Jesus, come rule my life. I offer myself back to You." But maybe you're here and you hear these words and you go, "Yep, I'm pretty affected by the sin that's in the world." I'll tell you, that's part of my prayer. I get impacted by the things that are around me, just like me. Maybe you want God's help right now, and you want God's wisdom. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom among you, ask, and it will be given unto you generously. We do that here today, too. Whatever your reason for coming in here, whatever your petition, as I say this prayer, I'm praying for you. So with our heads bowed, Heavenly Father, I know the world is sinful, and in many cases, I've just given myself over to that. I haven't been strong enough to resist it. And Father, I admit that to You, and I have no problem embracing that. I understand that I can't live the perfect life that Your Son lived. But during this Christmas time, when we celebrate You being incarnate in man and Christ coming to earth, right, acquiescing, stepping down, living as a man here among us, coming, I want Christ to come down and live in my heart. And Father, the reality is I may have just given Christ a little bit of room in my heart. And I want Christ to have all the room. I want so much Christ that it would overflow and flow out of me into everyone else. Father, would You do that for me today? Would You do that for those who are asking today? Father, could we, as Your sons and daughters, live in an extremely loving way this year? The world needs it. Let no one ask, "Where is the love?" Let them see Christ Fellowship Church, those that are here and those that are online. Let them see You through us. Let them see Your love, that perfect love, through us and how we act in Your world today. Father, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, amen.